Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 55. I am Kevin, joined with me as always, my friend Andrew. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Kevin, it's a nice sunny day here in northeastern Kansas.
Yeah.
Doing lovely.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a lull period for Kansas sports, but there's a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. We did see the KU baseball team make it into the postseason, so that's new for hasn't happened much.
And they got on TV.
The
one time they do play on TV, or at least on national TV, they don't do that well. But it was fun to watch. Yeah. I watched it.
Yeah, that was great. We have quite a few things to talk about today since we haven't been on for a while. That's my bad. It's not Andrew's fault. I've been out of town. I've been traveling, new job, all kinds of things going on. But we are back.
Kevin, it's all our faults.
Yeah.
It's everyone. We'll all take the blame for this.
I appreciate that. We're team effort here. But we do have quite a few things to talk about. We will give you a little intro to those things right now. Andrew, I had the opportunity to shoot the shit with Bill Self for about an hour earlier this week, which is pretty cool. So we got some stories to come from that. We're going to talk about Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk. You like that?
That was good.
You like how quick that was?
That was good. That sounds like you're a native Ukrainian speaker.
That's what I was going for.
Are you hiding this from everybody?
See, I think what I do, if you say it really fast, no one can quite pick up what you said.
So and then you kind of play it off as a little smirk.
Right, right.
You say it, and then you're like, check that out. And everyone seems impressed, even though it probably takes 20 seconds to learn.
And maybe we'll have a little session when we get there on how to say his name. Yeah, because I think some people are still a little confused on that.
All right, just little pretest for me. Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk.
Mikhailiuk.
Yeah, you can't. You got to do the kuch.
I actually don't know if you're supposed to, but I feel like you should.
Oh, okay. So you're creating these grammar rules regarding like phlegm in the throat. Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk.
Yes, now you got it. That's
is that good?
Good?
Okay, we'll get there.
We're also going to talk about Devontae Graham, Andrew White III, who is now transferring, a little NBA draft talk. But Andrew, let's get started here talking about the opportunity that I had. It was kind of a random deal. I've actually not said it on the podcast because I was afraid that it was probably not going to happen. But I'm involved with a program called Boys State. It's run by the American Legion. It's a leadership camp. And it's run
I did Boys State, Kevin.
Yeah, you did. 2002.
Sites County.
There you go.
Sites County, sir.
So anyway, I've been doing this since 2001. And they tasked me with coming up with a keynote speaker this year, and they said, can you get Bill Self, because they know I do some KU stuff. I was like, yeah, probably not. And they're like, come on, give it a shot. So long story short, ended up getting Bill Self to agree to come. He agreed to do it for free, which is even cooler. And he figured out that he had to drive to Manhattan to do so, and I still didn't think it was going to happen. And so everyone kept asking, hey, you know, is he coming for sure, can we start advertising? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Because, like, part of me was like, there's, like, a 10% chance that he's going to get a call from, like, Mario Chalmers and be like, hey, LeBron's got this, charity golf tournament. He's flying his jet to come pick you up. We need a fourth. You know, you want to come? Or, like, something like that was going to happen, and he'd probably take that gig. But it didn't happen. He ended up making it to Manhattan, and it was very cool. So, basically what happened was he shows up. We asked him to do about a 20-minute speech, and then we're going to do a Q&A session. And he gets out of his car, and I said, hey, coach, how you doing? Is there anything you need we can get to you before you go on? He said, well, I need some paper because I wrote my speech on this envelope on the way here. And he pulls out this envelope out of his pocket, and it has, like, scratches all over, like chicken scratch handwriting. He's pulling in six different directions. I'm like, I'm going to get you some paper. And everyone who's standing there goes, oh God, you know, is he going to be prepared? Is this, what did we get ourselves into? I was like, trust me, he'll be fine. And
I'm going to interrupt you on certain spots here. just little footnotes.
Please.
You did send me a selfie that you took with him. Mm-hmm. Where he is, he's rocking a beard, his summer beard.
Summer beard.
And I just want to say that we should start a thing where KU fans rock summer beards with Bill Self.
That'd be good.
Like during the June non-recruiting period or whatever it is. During that period, all KU basketball fans should have to grow beards.
With Bill Self?
With Bill Self.
I like it. Yes.
Anyway, continue on. I'm going to interrupt you.
No, please interrupt.
Go ahead.
So we get him backstage, and I hand him my notebook, and he goes back and starts writing out his speech. And several people are coming up to me and like, so he didn't even prepare a speech? You know, he didn't even, like, he's going to be fine. Like, he lives for these getting in front of a microphone and taking a crowd down. Like, that's just what he does. They're like, all right, you know, whatever. And so 10 minutes later, he comes out. He's like, speech is done. No problem. He said, how long do you want me to speak? And I said, about 20 minutes. He's like, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I said, I'll tell you about it. We'll just take the Q&A a little longer. He's like, oh, I'll kill that Q&A. And I was like, I know you will, coach. And so anyway, we get backstage, and it takes about 45 minutes to an hour before he actually goes on. He got there a little early. So basically, myself and a couple other counselors were just sitting backstage shooting the shit with Self. And of course, I got to bring up a few topics while I'm standing there next to him, one of which was Sviatoslav Mikhailuk. And I even said, because I've been practicing his name for a couple of weeks, and I said, Coach, is it Sviatoslav Mikhailuk? Is that how you say it? He goes, what'd you say? How you say it? And I said, Mikhailuk? He's like, oh, man, I don't even know how to say his last name. They just told me to call him Svi. And I was like, that's good. Yeah, well, it's Mikhailuk. He's like, Mikhailuk? And like, so anyway,
Did you say to him, you got to do the phlegm? Did you say to him? Yeah, Coach, you got to go from the back of the throat.
The guttural, right there in the back. Yeah, right there. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like to say that if Bill Self ever pronounces his name, he learned it from me. That's going to be my take anyway.
Put that on your business card. Yeah.
So I started asking him about it, and he's like, you know, he's so young. He's only 16. He's younger than these boys that are actually here at Boise State. And then he says, but the Spurs told me he's a top 10 shooter in the world. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, I told him it was bullshit too. But the Spurs told him that Sviatoslav Mikhailuk is a top 10 shooter in the world, is what he said. Now,
like right now?
Right now.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so that's neat. So we have that going for us.
I don't know if I believe that, but right. That's a cool statement.
That is a cool statement. And that was probably the coolest thing that we got out of the conversation. We talked a little NBA, talking about the finals, and talked a little NBA draft, and he said Wiggins and Embiid are going to be great wherever they go, and they're killing their workouts, and blah, blah, blah. He did say, I asked him about Graham, and he said that he's got a diamond in the rough with Graham. He really likes him, really likes his game. He thinks he's going to come in and contribute right away. So we'll talk a little bit more about those two guys a little later. But yeah, it was, you know, he gets on stage finally and, you know, gets to the mic and first thing he says, you know, gets a nice ovation. First thing he says is, that's the loudest ovation I've ever got in this town. And because
it's probably true.
We're in Manhattan. Yeah. And you know, he gets up there and just kills his speech. You know, one of the first things he says is, I'm not a politician, but blah, 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 blah. And then I'm backstage with another guy's like, if there's anything Bill Self is, he's a politician. He can remember everybody's name.
Yeah, the best politicians convince everyone else that they're not exactly. A politician.
He killed the room. I mean, everybody in the—he had the whole place just eating out of a spoon, and it was really good. The Q&A gets up there, and I get up on stage and ask him some questions, and he kills it. So. Next thing you know, all the K-State fans that are there, because there's quite a few of them because we're in Manhattan, are like, man, I hate KU, but I love Bill Self. And I'm like, see, that's what he does. It's tough not to like him because he just kind of, like I said, he kind of controls the room. But so that was pretty neat being able to talk about that. There were some other things we talked about that I don't think I should mention on the podcast, but because I didn't tell him that I had a podcast or did a blog. I didn't want to be that guy. It's like, hey, I have a KU blog. You want to talk about that?
You know, but, Kevin, I know you say you don't want to be that guy.
I missed an opportunity.
But you kind of are that guy. Like, you say you don't want to be, but you kind of are that guy.
Not really, though. Because if I was that guy, I think I would have taken that opportunity.
I know. I'm just generally the concept of that guy. You're that guy.
I'm the guy that says he's not that guy and then does some things to make me not that guy.
But you're that guy.
I think there's other guys who are much more that guy.
Oh, no, that's definitely true.
But I'm so I don't want to be that guy. But I'm going to be a different guy who's a little less that guy.
Okay, that's fair.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
All right, good. All right, good talk. No names will be mentioned, but, you know, that's just what we are. We're a little less than that guy. So any other questions, Andrew, about experience with self there?
Did you touch his beard?
No.
No.
Any other questions?
Did he have a driver?
He did. It was his... Assist Foundation, Aaron Zimney, who runs the Assist Foundation for him. Okay. It was actually through them that we set this whole thing up. So give the Assist Foundation a follow on Twitter. They're very nice. Aaron's very cool.
And what was the general theme of his talk?
Leadership. I mean, that was kind of what, you know, the camp's about. I gave him like 5 buzzwords backstage and he incorporated them just throughout the speech. I mean, like I said, he probably wrote down 5 sentences and just BS'd the rest through it and just killed it. I mean, it looked like he'd done the speech 25 times, which maybe he had in different contexts and he was just taking little things from different places. But no, it was really good. He had some anecdotes with Bobby Knight and with other coaches, Popovich, and talked about the Spurs a little bit. Just the leadership that those guys have on the team, that they don't want to necessarily take the credit for wins, but they'll get up and take all the blame for losses and things like that. Just, and then brought a lot of anecdotes from coaching, which was really cool.
So you've done this for several years, you know, going back to when you were a Boise Stater, right? So
yes.
who have been some other speakers and how does he compare to the rest of them?
The only other coach that we've had since I've been there was Bill Snyder about 8 years ago, and he is literally the worst speaker we've ever had, and it's not even close. And we've had several terrible speakers, and he...
You know, that's kind of surprising to me.
Let me tell you what Bill Snyder's speech was about. I don't know because I fell asleep.
We told him
he had 20 minutes... And he gets up to the podium, brings out a binder of handwritten speech, puts it on the podium, puts his head down, and reads his speech word for word without looking up in the most monotone voice that he could possibly do. And he goes on and on and on and on. And someone's like, "We got to go get him." He's like putting everybody to sleep on and on. 45 minutes later, he's still talking. And like literally everyone was asleep. I mean, it was awful.
And I hope people aren't just thinking we're hating on K-State.
No.
I think you and I both like Bill Snyder.
Everybody in the whole play, all the K-State fans were like, I can't handle this anymore. And I told Self that story, giving him a little pep talk in the back, that the last coach we had didn't go over so well. And he was like, "How do people go play for him?" So it was kind of funny.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it really is. But so anyway, there you go. But we've had obviously a lot of political people and activists and I don't know. Last year it was the kid who got up in front of the Iowa legislature and campaigned. It was a big YouTube deal where he had 2 moms and he got up in front of the legislature and,
all right,
and did the gay rights speech when they had the gay marriage debate. And he was really good. But we've had a little bit of everything. We had governors and, you know, senators and whatever else. But compared to everybody, I think that Self, you know, was the best we've had in a very long time. So, and that was to be expected. He's good at that stuff. So there you go. Shall we move on?
Let's move on. That's okay. That sounds like a good little weekend, though. Good little.
Yeah, it was fun.
Bill Self tidbit that only the kids are privy to.
It was, yeah, and everyone, you know, on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else was. Saying, you know, how much they enjoyed the speech and was really glad. Even all the K-State fans were saying, you know, I'm a K-State fan, but man, he was awesome and stuff like that.
But, you know, it's got to be tough for him to, you know, stroll into the Manhattan campus and just dominate.
Yeah, I don't think it's tough for him to do that.
Actually, that's kind of a joke. Like, we do that all the time.
I get it. That was a sports joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Actually, it wasn't at first, but then I realized that, yeah, it was probably a joke.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, now that we pretty much have a good idea of who we're going to have on campus next year, there could be another little late thing going on. We still have a scholarship, but probably most likely this is our final team for the year. So, Andrew, I've got to ask you, who do you think is going to start next year?
Just generally or at point guard starters. Position or everything?
Okay, let's five starters.
Let's think about the locks. Okay. So from lockiest of the locks to unlockiest of the locks.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong as I'm going through these because I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
Okay,
so number one.
Lock of the week.
Lock, stone cold lock of the week of the century of the week. Okay, would be Wayne Selden.
Okay.
Right.
I like that. Yep.
Little bit of news coming out about Wayne Selden in the past week or so. Apparently, he played most of the season with a bum knee, had surgery in the offseason, and is now saying he's, you know, 100%, as evidenced by his dunk on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, the between the legs.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It makes sense because, I mean, you look at all his mixtape stuff in high school. I mean, all that stuff, we were just murdering people and showing crazy athleticism. And you and I were on this podcast in the offseason saying, man, we can't wait for this guy. And then he was just like a three-point shooter. And like he never really got that, showed that athleticism. Makes sense.
And I didn't know if it was because of Wiggins being there and comparing him to Wiggins and letting Wiggins do those things, or if it was something wrong with him. And I think it's a bit of both.
Probably.
But knowing that he's, you know, tip top now, makes me even more excited for his game.
Because yeah,
I think he's gonna take a bigger leap forward than the typical freshman sophomore because there was a little bit of that nagging injury there. That's what I'd say. Are you in agreement with me that number one
stone
lock
cold.
Of the week, stone cold, two, Perry Ellis.
That's an interesting one. Yes, I think so.
Well, I mean, would you say he's the next lock? Or
yes, that was my interesting part. But yes, I think he's the next most likely.
So I mean, he's a junior, going to be a leader on the team. You know, he's talking more, you know, as a leader last year, even though he's kind of a quiet guy. But you kind of saw that develop a little bit, and I think that'll be even more true this year.
He had a rough year. It wasn't his year this year.
Well, I mean, he still scored 14 points a game.
Yeah,
which is, you know, pretty good in the Big 12.
Yeah, I guess.
As a sophomore.
I know. But I think you and I were expecting a little more out of him, and he got, I think he did, I think, you know, where we thought Wiggins would help him take off some of the pressure, I'm not sure that was the case. And, you know, we'd heard that he'd added 6 inches to his vertical since he's got there. He still played below the rim quite a bit. I think next year the big thing for him is to show off a little bit of mid-range. He might even have to play a little, you know, shoot some threes and show a little pick and pop game because he's going to have to be able to do some of those things if he's going to get to the next level.
But, you know, I'm excited for Perry this year as well. I think, you know, his type of game and his type of trajectory, you know, juniors and seniors years of the guys like that are really when they sort of take off. You know, they've got the skill. They've just kind of got it settle into the program, settle into the system. And, you know, we've seen that before. And it's tough to compare some of these guys like him to one and done players, but you know, I think these next 2 years, he'll really take off, and so Perry's gonna have a big year. So I put him at number two, lock of the century of the week. Okay, so now we get a little murkier.
A little murkier.
So we've got our two, we've got our four, taken care of, right? I would say next in line in terms of lock would be Cliff Alexander at the five.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So it's a freshman starting, but you know, he's the, depending on who you ask, one of the top three recruits in the class. Got the body for it already.
Yeah,
we don't know if he's defensively, I don't know if he's got, you know, all the skills, but it's not going to really matter because he's not going to be playing against guys who are as big as him. You know, is he ready? Is he ready for the NBA defensively? Absolutely not. But is he ready for, you know, that first November and December games? Probably.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of one of those things. Like, so maybe he's not the next guy up, but you look at the competition, and we're talking about Landon Traylor Landon Lucas, Jamari Traylor, and Hunter Mickelson as really the next, you know, three guys who would compete at that spot. And I'm not sure the upside is there on those three yet. I know that they've each – I love Jamari's game, and I think he'll play a lot this year. But I'm not sure he'll play the five with Perry. And so you can almost maybe rule that out a little bit unless they're going small. And then you're looking at the other two guys, and I think maybe Cliff makes the most sense there. So I think almost process of elimination, I think you're right. I think Cliff's the next one up.
Okay, so we've got our two, our four, and our five taken care of. And from here, I think it gets a little murkier and not going to be clear really until the start of the season as far as the one and the wing position. Do you agree with me there?
I do, and I do think that even in the season, we could see a change.
Okay, three, the competition is between Kelly Oubre and Brandon Green?
Probably, yeah.
Is that right? And I don't know who's going to get that. Probably Kelly Oubre, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
either. They're just now on campus, so it's not like we have tons of information or anything about who he is. I think at the beginning of the year, it's going to be tough to take his job away, though. At the beginning of the year, you may see Green and then Oubre coming in and playing, but it's hard for a top 10 player not to start right away, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of the question. I mean, is Brandon going to have a big jump? And if he does, I mean, does that put him in front of Oubre? And, you know, it's always that kind of age-old question. Would you rather have someone who's put some time into this system and had a year under their belt with Hoodie, who's going to – I mean, even though they're 10 spots apart on Rivals rankings, you know, when they were coming in high school, those 10 spots just got eaten up real quick because one of them's been in the program. It'll be interesting. I mean, I want to see Brandon make a huge jump, and I think he can. He's got a ton of upside. He's got the skill set, and obviously the stroke from the outside and the height and length, and hopefully, you know, can get a little quicker. And if those things all develop, I mean, those two are probably pretty close. But if they don't develop, I think Kelly's got a little bit better upside. And of course, we're speculating because we've seen them play against high schoolers. But
so I mean, I'll say, well, if forced to choose a player, probably choose Oubre. Who do you choose?
I think I do too. Although it wouldn't shock me to see a scenario where there's a switch midseason.
Okay, from Green to Oubre or back and forth?
Or maybe back and forth. I mean,
okay.
Brandon, I think, had spent some time in Self's doghouse for parts of the season. If he gets all that crap figured out and all fields are level going into it, I think Brandon may start just because of, he's getting a reward for that and has put the time in or whatever. But I think everyone agrees more than likely that Oubre probably has the upside that maybe Brandon doesn't.
Okay, so let's move on to the point guard position, which is probably a topic that will be addressed many times on this podcast going forward. So our candidates are Connor Frankamp coming back, Frank Mason coming back, both as sophomores, and the newcomer Devontae Graham. This is tough, Kevin.
Yeah. I don't think there's a right answer here. I mean, I think this will be basically the topic of the offseason. And we actually had this topic coming into last season a little bit because some people were not into the idea of Tharp being the leader, and some of them obviously proved correct, but the lobby was for Mason, and I'm not sure Mason was quite the one either. So I'm going to go with what you don't know. And I think Graham could end up being a wild card here, but I would rank them Connor Frankamp first, just because of what we saw at the end of the year, Graham, Mason. But I think that there's going to be a ton of both of them playing at the same time type of thing. Or, basically switching, to a combo type situation instead of a point guard situation. What do you think?
Okay, here's a question for you. Over under 17 minutes a game for Connor Frankamp next year.
That's pretty good. I think I would take the over slightly, but I think that's about right.
Okay. As far as what I think, I think I'm going to go with Mason. Interesting. Because Bill Self likes, well.
See, it's tough.
I don't know, Kevin.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this. How about Connor versus Mason? Because Graham's a wild card. But at the same time, the wild card is the one that people want to talk about because he's new and flashy and we don't know anything about him. It's kind of a backup quarterback situation. Between those two, Connor and Mason, who do you like?
Probably Mason, just because what we want out of that spot, he gets to the basket, whereas Connor's more of just a shooter, which is fine, which is great. And I want him to be on the floor to be a shooter. But I think from that, you know, the one spot, the point guard spot, we need a guy who can drive.
Well, the good news, Devontae Graham is a penetrator. He's got speed and quickness. He's got some explosiveness. He's interesting in transition. He can be a lead guard there. He can create offense in the half-court game. He's an improved three-point shooter, but not near the, you know, the caliber of Frank Camp, at least the legend of Frank Camp. Hasn't really shown it in game, but we know it's there. And then, so it's kind of interesting. It seems like he's a little bit of a little both of those guys. He's got a little bit of explosiveness and ability to get to the hoop like Mason, but can shoot up and spot up and run a half court set similar to Connor. So I'm almost maybe leaning toward there's a chance that Devontae Graham gets in there.
I think you're right, but we have no idea. They're all on campus now, but those will be two spots to look forward to for next year. Kevin, who is the first man off the bench? Let's just go big and then guard.
Jamari, I think, is the first man off the bench because I think he can come in and be an energy guy. I think he'll be a great sixth man, at least a sixth man on the for the post anyway. And I think he's going to take a huge step forward. I think he's going to be one of those guys, Andrew, that people that stays 4 years and by his fourth year, he is just murdering people out there. Just an awesome college basketball player, but not maybe, you know, going to translate to the next level and he'll go make a bunch of money overseas or something. But he's got some of that explosiveness. He plays bigger than he is, even though he's only, I don't know, 6'6" on a good day, would you say? Maybe 6'7". But he's so big and he can use his body to guard taller guys, and he's got length and explosiveness to defend as well. I'm really excited about Jamari's game taking a step forward because it obviously has in the last year too. I mean, we saw him make huge strides. He had a great, you know, great stats per minute or whatever, or per game per minute, whatever it is. And he brought a lot of energy, and that's what, and aggressiveness and toughness, which was something that we were lacking a little bit this year. And I think that's just going to continue to translate. Him and Cliff on the same floor will be fun together.
I think so too. That'll be a bunch of bruisers out there. It's going to be tough to, you know, Jamari's, you know, height isn't amazing, but just seeing those two guys down there guarding on defense,
they're grown men,
is going to be frightening for those small Iowa State guards, you know.
Yeah, those are grown men. They're not tall, though. I mean, Cliff's not tall either, at least, you know, for if he's playing the five. But
yeah, he is a NBA power forward and traditional NBA power forward, not a stretch four.
No,
he's never going to play center in the NBA, and he's never going to be able to step out and, you know, shoot threes in the NBA. His role is quite, you know, is defined exactly about what it needs to be, both in college and in the NBA. So you know what you are. I mean, he's a Thomas Robinson type.
Yeah,
you know, the Morris twins can shoot threes in the NBA now, but Thomas Robinson is, you know, put him on the post,
garbage man.
Yeah, get some rebounds and, you know, push some people around.
Yeah. So who's the first guard off the bench? I guess it depends on where you kind of fall on the who's starting, but I guess. But who do you think is the rotation?
I think it's the odd man out of Oubre and Green. Whoever doesn't start swings in at that spot. You know, okay. Seldon's gonna, you know, eat up a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
So I think that, and then you know, that gives you one other guard, a point guard to choose from. And I don't know. That's all. I don't know what order it is. I don't know who's going to come in. But I think that, you know, off the bench, you'll see Jamari and either Oubre or Green come in at the same time.
It almost makes you wonder if there will be a point guard who kind of gets the shaft this year. I don't think it will be Connor, because I think Self has kind of had some offseason talks with him to say, hey, you're going to play a big role next year. So is it Graham? Is it Mason? Are these guys, or is it Connor? And then you almost got to wonder, because there's not enough time for all these guys to play 15 minutes a game. That's not really the way that Self rolls. So that'll be interesting, that as we get closer, to see maybe those roles start to develop.
Can you imagine how hard this would be if Nadir was still around?
I know. I mean, that's exactly right. I think that once it looked like we were getting Graham, that the writing was on the wall a little bit there. Whether Self said it to him or not, I think we can both speculate on that. But anyway.
Not to say that it was a great thing that happened, but it certainly makes decisions slightly easier. Because, I mean, I would prefer Nadir to be here, but
I don't think I would.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think I do.
You're fine with how it happened?
Yeah, I think I'm fine with it. I mean, the comedy's great, but yeah.
Well, speaking of transfers, let's move on a little bit and talk about our boy, Andrew White. You and I have both loved Andrew White since he's arrived in Lawrence, but he's no longer in Lawrence. He is elsewhere. What do you think of his decision to transfer?
I think it makes sense. I think he figured out that he was probably going to be behind Oubre and Brandon Green next year, because that became the case this last year. Obviously, you know, tons of stories about him putting in crazy work in the offseason, getting faster, getting stronger, developing his body. You know, if you look at him, he's actually pretty jacked. Like, he looks like like he could be a legitimate, you know, three. And I'm happy for him that he's, you know, he's hopefully going to land in a good situation. He seems like a great kid. I read a story that schools that were talking to him the most, Maryland, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Wake Forest, Miami, and Florida State. So some pretty good programs that he could step in and contribute after he sits a year. I hope he ends on a good spot. I actually think Nebraska would be kind of a cool spot with Miles there. I think he'd I think that'd be a good spot for him.
And Turge needs some guys. I hope he goes to Maryland.
Yeah, that's true.
Turge has kind of had an exodus this year.
That's very true.
He needs some players, and I think he'd fit in well there. But, you know, hopefully he lands in a good spot, and then, you know, come another year, he gets some opportunity to play.
Yeah. Or Wake. I guess Wake Forest. Isn't that
Daniel? Daniel Manning.
Yeah, I didn't even put that together. It's still weird that he's at Wake Forest. But yeah, that'd be interesting. I hope he goes there now. That's my hope. But yeah, I think it was the right decision. Do you agree?
I think so too. There wasn't going to be opportunities for him to play.
Yeah. That's just how it goes at KU. I mean, you know, if you're a top 5 or 10 guy, you got a good chance of coming in and playing quite a bit. But if you are, you know, a top 40 guy and you don't quite, you know, get in the rotation your first year, you're going to get recruited over. It's just how it goes. Or even if you're a top 5 guy, you're going to get recruited over. That's just how it goes. And you have to do it. Self has to do it. That's why he's making the big bucks. You got to keep bringing those guys in and you know, put it all together. If it doesn't work out where you're not getting the time, I can understand why the transfer. So, I hope, wish him the best. Should we talk a little Sviatoslav?
Let's talk about some Svi. Let's just go over briefly about who this guy is. And I'm sure that most of you have heard a little bit about him and heard these basic topics.
The legend.
But let's just kind of go over a little bit about him. Maybe it'll help if we say this out loud, so we'll actually do it. But in the future, we kind of want to do player-centric episodes for all the new players. So if we'll have an episode dedicated to Mr. Sviatoslav Mikhailuk.
We'll get Fran Fraschilla on for that.
Yeah, that'd be great. And so we'll, going into the season, we'll have a little bit more knowledge. But let's just kind of go over him a little bit, hit some high points. He is currently, actually, his birthday is on Tuesday.
So if you see him around, say, actually, is he? No, he's playing with his national team this summer, right? He's not around.
I think you're right. Yes.
So, well, anyway, if he's on, I don't think he's on Twitter, but just maybe say it to whoever. So give him a happy birthday on June 10th. So, I mean, we're recording this on a Sunday. So on a Tuesday, June 10th, it's his birthday, and he'll be turning, drumroll, Kevin, drumroll, 17 years old. So he's currently 16. If you want to have a little gut-wrenching, heart-clenching moment, he was born in 1997.
Oh.
1997, Kevin.
Old.
Yeah, dude. He was born in 1997, and he's on the Kansas Jayhawks basketball team.
By the way, okay. Fun fact before you go on. In Ukraine, they don't actually say happy birthday. They say many years.
Many years to
many
him.
Many years. So just tell him.
You are Lita. Secretly some sort of Kiev spy. Yeah. You are a Ukrainian spy living in Kansas City. You can pronounce his name with the correct, and you know how to say happy birthday in the Ukraine. So many years to Mr. Mikhailuk.
Many years.
Many or. Am I saying it? Is it Mikhai? You don't pronounce the K, right? Mikhailuk.
I think there's a K. Mikhailuk?
But you don't pronounce the K. Maybe the K is indication of you should go.
Yeah. Well, if you say it really fast, then no one will know the difference. So Sviatoslav Mikhailuk.
Okay.
Sviatoslav Mikhailuk.
If you say it slower, you sound like an idiot.
I know. Well, I was just slowing it down for the folks at home.
Yeah, so I'm just agreeing with your point of saying it faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's his birthday on June 10th, 1997. He is a young guy from the Ukraine, obviously. He speaks English because I think that he attended an English-speaking school. His parents are both professors, or one of them is a professor. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of comes from a, you know, educated family in that, you know, therefore is going to know English. So that's good. I think it's for him. This could be something where we remember back, like, oh yeah, we had that guy. Because I think the danger for him is always going to be him bolting to play professionally in Europe before he even gets here or after a year. Do you agree with that? Because it's always a danger. Because those guys are always going to have that option.
Potentially, I guess his decision to go to college makes me think that he'll probably stay for the 2 years at least. Because he could have had that opportunity at any time. If he's really that good a shooter, and he's already like 6'8". I mean, he's tall.
That's a little debatable too. I've seen between 6'6" and 6'8".
Yeah, that's true.
So I we don't really know how tall he is.
He could not be. He may not be done growing. He's only 16 years old.
That's a good point.
But you know, I think the decision for him to choose to go to college at least. Would lend me to believe that he'll probably stay for 2 years at least. I think that's. I agree. It's always a question. I think choosing KU made some sense. Not just, I guess, because I'm biased, but come in. One of his biggest things he needs to do is put on weight and get in a program and get to lifting. And I think Hootie has shown that she can do that pretty well. Probably better than just about any other college program. So that will be interesting as he comes in and hopefully bulks up a little bit. I think the question is whether he makes an impact next year. And no one's really talking about that. I mean, you and I just went through a whole conversation, didn't even mention his name. And maybe we're wrong for that if he's that good of a shooter. Do you think, Andrew, that he plays a role next year in this team?
I think he plays a little bit. But I think his second year is when he'll be a stud.
Do you think he plays as many minutes as Brandon Green played this year?
Fewer.
I think I agree. Not necessarily from a lack of talent, but if you look at him, you're looking at the highlight videos and stuff. I mean, he's playing against slow white dudes. I mean, he's playing against skinny, slow white dudes. And dominating them, which is good. But you got to wonder if he's ready to take on the challenge of playing, you know, grown men in the Big 12 and in college basketball. So one comparison that I'm seeing a lot, which kind of excites me, is Stauskas from Michigan. And I think it's easy to compare white dudes to white dudes and foreign white dudes to foreign white dudes, which seems to happen a lot. But that said, if he's anything like Nick Stauskas, I mean, that dude could play. I think that would be great.
He'd likely top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Or top 15 pick. If we're talking about comparing foreign white dudes to foreign white dudes, NBADraft.net has a pretty good description of what's going on. They say that he is the best prospect in Europe since Ricky Rubio, which is kind of an exciting thing.
Yeah.
And additionally says that his game is similar to a Manu Ginobili, which, you know, those are lofty comparisons. Sure, Jamari's like Charles Barkley, but, you know, Jamari's not Charles Barkley, you know. So those are exciting things to hear. I'm excited to see if that will develop.
Yeah.
I think that he's in the right place for, you know, if he's going to become a guy like either Manu or Ricky Rubio, this is going to be a good spot for him. Some of these, you know, we don't really know what position he's going to play either. I mean, somebody says like he's going to be a point guard in the NBA or he's going to be whatever it is. We don't know. So maybe this will be a good spot for him to just learn about what type of player he is.
Yeah, I think you're right. He says he can do 1-3. And in college, I think, like you said, it'll be interesting just from a defensive standpoint, where is he quick enough to guard a point guard? If that's the case, is he moving over to the 2 and 3? And I think that's kind of the question that I have. Not necessarily can he dribble and pass and run an offense and, you know, be a guard who's maybe even bringing the ball up the court. Can he guard his position? And in the NBA, that will be a huge step too. So we'll
I think
see.
So too. So, I mean, this is a little different. Usually we come in and learn about these guys from years and years and years of recruiting, but this guy kind of came out of nowhere, and we're just kind of getting to figure out who he is. But another guy that sort of fell in that category is Devontae Graham. We'll talk about this a little bit because at the point of our last podcast, he had not committed to KU. I think he committed the next day or two. So this is a guy who originally committed to Appalachia State, but went to Brewster for his postgraduate year, and then I think Brewster won the prep national championship. Is that correct?
Sure.
Brewster has produced a lot of guys that we have gotten in the past several years, including Nadir and Thomas Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys to go through the program, I think Mitch McGarry went to Brewster.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, I mean, it's a pretty high-profile program for preps. You know, but bringing in a point guard, this is what we needed to do. Is he going to be the guy? You know, he's 6'1". You talked about him earlier. He's kind of a combo shooter, combo driver. Did we get better by picking him up?
I think so. I mean, I guess the question is, did we get better for the switch of Nadir and him?
Right. That's what I mean.
I think, yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those. This guy could be a four-year player. I think we know who Nadir was by this time. He had 1 year left. He was coming off a tough year. And I think we figured out that he's a pretty good shooter and not a great point guard. And this guy seems like he can actually play and be a true point. So what we needed and what we were missing and what we've been missing for a while, at least since our boy –
Tyshawn
was here.
How could you forget Tyshawn's name?
I was in the zone. I was looking
so
something
disappointed
up,
in you.
And I was looking something up and talking at the same time. That's a bad thing to do. But anyway, since Tyshawn has been here, we've been missing that point guard. And he's here now. He looks like a point guard. Smells like a point guard. Hopefully he's a point guard. We need one.
I think so too. This is going to be the biggest storyline probably going into the season, is who's going to take that spot. And I think that, you know, bringing him in, he's an unknown. We haven't seen him play a college game, but, you know, he may be the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah. I hope he is. I mean, that's kind of a selfish thing, but if he ends up coming in as a freshman and being the starter, that means he earned it. And he's good enough to do that because he's taken over two guys who played that role on this team already. And that means he beat them. I would be excited for that, not upset. You know, I think some fans would be upset that this guy would come in and start over their favorite Connor Francamp or the bruiser little guy, Frank Mason. I don't think I'd be upset. I think I'd be happy for him because that means he's legit. I do want to say that, you know, it was kind of cool. He came out of nowhere. He's, you know, was a pretty low ranked, and some KU fans were going, I don't know about this guy. You know, we've seen these guys before where they come in and they're lower ranked guys. And then next thing you know, they start shooting up the ladder of the rankings. Once KU starts talking to him, you know, he closed and he's ended up being in the 30s in Rivals and 4-star guy. And, you know, all of a sudden people's views of him have changed a little bit. Now he's a good player, a KU caliber guy.
But does it KU and Virginia going after, or not Virginia, whoever else, NC State going after him, affect that ranking? You know, it's kind of like a demand thing. Like, he's suddenly in demand, so he's going to shoot up the ranking.
100%. Yeah. I've always said, why the heck do it early?
He may be over, well, because of the Appalachia State thing.
But at the time, he grew like 3 inches, first of all. And there was remember the story? It was kind of a crazy deal where he was trying to get out of the letter intent and the coaching change and all this stuff. I mean, I think it was one thing kind of led to another, but no, I agree. Once you get to the late signing period, if you're still out there, you're going up the rankings because people don't know about you and you're interesting. But yeah, I think, you know, by the time we get, not a lot of teams of Kansas's caliber has an extra scholarship just hanging around. And we had two of them. And we needed a point guard. And so it was, I don't know, it was a good fit. And I think it will be really interesting to see how he comes in and makes an impact next year. I have heard from people who, you know, are much smarter than me, said they think he's the second best point guard in this class, better than some of the guys that are ranked ahead of him. And that, and obviously Self, you know, to my face said that he's a real diamond in the rough and really happy they got him. So we'll see.
That's going to be the debate. You know, Bill Self talks highly of him. I think that you have, you know, Tyus Jones in this class and then Ulis going to Kentucky. I think those are the top two.
Moutier.
But a lot of people's... Oh, and Moutier is probably the best.
He's the best. And so basically they're saying that Graham is better or competes very closely with those other two that you mentioned.
So if that's true, we've got quite the gem on our hands. Mm-hmm. But we don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's talk a little NBA draft. What do you say?
I like it.
All right, you're the NBA guy. So I'm going to let you kind of start this conversation.
I'm the NBA guy.
You're the NBA guy. NBA guy during during this time of year because I like to watch playoff basketball. And before that, I like to watch KU guys in the NBA. So you're the NBA guy. Talk to me a little bit about where you think Wiggins and Embiid are going to land. Is it going to be Cleveland number one? We got Milwaukee number two, Philly three. What is it, Magic four?
Yeah.
And Utah five?
Okay, so let's just go through this. Cleveland somehow magically won the draft lottery.
Right.
Through some sort of black magic witchery, sorcery, Cleveland gets the first pick for the third time in 4 years.
Uh-huh.
They got Kyrie Irving. Initially drafted Anthony Bennett last year, and then again get the first pick. I think, you know, the top three are going to be the top three with Embiid, Wiggins, and Parker in some kind of order.
Okay.
If I had my choice, I would have Embiid go to Cleveland and then Wiggins go to Philadelphia. I think those are good spots for those two guys.
You want to avoid the Bucks.
I want to avoid the Bucks. Just nothing against Milwaukee,
which is Algonquin for the good land.
That's right. Just because they're never on TV, and you're never going to get to see a Milwaukee Bucks Sacramento Kings game. But you might get to see a Cleveland Cavaliers game because, you know, they're probably a rising team and will be good the next several years. But here the real question is who do you take number one, Kevin?
I think you go Embiid. I was watching one of his workouts. So they put it online. Somebody had video from one of his NBA workouts. He looks awesome. He looked like his back doesn't look to be an issue at all. He's dunking everything, jumping high and moving quick. And he looks really good. And every report out of, you know, those little mini camps, not the one that the NBA does, cause Wiggins and Embiid didn't go, but all those little mini ones, I guess he's just killing it. And I think pretty clear that he'll be the number one pick.
Who will be an all-star first of the top three?
Ooh, that's interesting. I would actually say, I don't know. Wiggins has the most name recognition. So maybe he ends up, if he just has an okay year, he gets up there. But I think Parker is probably the most likely to have an immediate impact, you know, look like a, you know, 18 point scorer a game, depending on where he lands. But the other two, I think, will have a better or higher upside long term, if that makes sense.
Now that makes sense to me. I think that Embiid's still got a ways to go,
of course,
in terms of development. I mean, we've seen that.
Yeah.
So in your heart of hearts, where do you want to have these guys go? I told you where I want them to go. I want Jabari Parker to be buried in Milwaukee. And then our two guys, you know, Cleveland is Cleveland, but they're going to have a pretty good team. And then Philadelphia, you know, sort of a traditional team.
I'll tell you where I want them to go. I want Orlando to trade their next six picks to Cleveland, and they take Embiid number one overall, and then trade their next six picks to the Bucks and take Embiid number two or Wiggins number two, and then those two are on the Magic together, and then I can get my pinstripe Magic jerseys like I had for Anthony Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal. That's what I want. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, that's what I would like. Those two should be on the Magic together.
That's quite the dream. Does it have to be the Magic? I mean,
yes, because Jacque Vaughn's the coach.
Oh,
so it'd be Jacque Vaughn, Wiggins, and Embiid all on the same sideline, and I could get my sweet pinstripe jerseys that I used to wear all the time, Anthony Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal, and I could put those aside because now I have two new ones, and that's what I want to happen. So do you think there's a chance?
No.
Oh, man.
But someone can dream. You can dream.
Hey, who would have thought the Twins would play together?
That's true.
See?
That's true. Actually, I just that was a fairy tale that I was hoping would happen. And, you know, it's working. You know, they were the representative of the Phoenix Suns at the lottery, which kind of goes to show you how much they, you know, they value those guys. They, you know, have some respect for him and some esteem for him if they let them represent the team at an event like that. So, you know, good on them. One thing before we close out our NBA talk, my favorite coach and yours was just hired as the head coach of the Utah Jazz.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, I'm speaking of one Quinn Snyder, former coach of the University of Missouri Tiger basketball team. How hilarious is that, Kevin?
That's great. I think it's more hilarious that he landed in Utah. Like, that's the best part about it for me. But no, he's been bumping around to different programs. He's been doing D-League stuff. He's been assistants in the NBA. He's actually had a pretty nice little career as a coach. He's probably made some pretty good money.
And he's put in his dues in the NBA.
Yeah, he definitely has. You know, he's definitely put in the groundwork and done all the slummy jobs at the D-Leagues and things like that. And I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm actually kind of like happy for him for some reason. Like, I don't know why. Like, I wanted to like totally bomb or something epic to fail. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, you know what? He deserves it. Sure. Why not? Go coach Utah. Like, it's a team I don't really care about. But anyway, yeah, it'll be interesting.
It's just so surprising. We thought we were done with him.
Yeah.
You would just fade into obscurity, but no, here he is coaching the Jazz.
Who, by the way, have a top five pick. So here's hoping that we don't see a scenario where for some reason Embiid or Wiggins slip a little bit.
Oh, that'd be so brutal.
But I would like to see Marcus Smart go there. So if we could somehow make that happen.
Marcus Smart and Quinn Snyder would turn that into the evil team of the league.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'd be fun.
In terms of how we view things.
Sure. Well, yeah. Which is all that matters.
You put Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins on there, and we got a team. We got an evil empire building there in Salt Lake City.
Definitely. Well, what do you say we get out of here with a little outro talk, Andrew? Anything else you want to close with? It's this fine Sunday afternoon.
Nothing else specifically. Let's wrap it up.
You know, Game of Thrones is tonight.
It's right. We got 2 episodes left.
We're big Game of Thrones guys. Who would win a trial by combat on KU's team? Who would be the winner on a bracket?
So for those of you who don't watch Game of Thrones, we just had a big trial by combat scene last week, which is where two guys fight.
Spoiler alert.
Two guys fight to determine someone's guilt or innocence in a legal trial, which we should adopt. You know, you and I are both lawyers. We should be able to have lawyer skills, but also combat skills in case the other side decides that, you know what, this isn't working. We're just going to have to fight. So, like, that should be two skills that you have to develop simultaneously. So you're asking who would win in a trial by combat tournament on KU's basketball team. I go with Jamari.
I do too. I think it's pretty easy. Okay, yeah. Good story.
Well, that's okay. Okay, well, we don't have anything to argue about, then Jamari's the winner.
Who would outwit? Who would be the best player in the Game of Thrones? Who would be the one that's winning the game?
I think that it would look like Tyler Self would win up until the very end, until Evan Manning stabs him in the back to win at the very last minute. To like come out victorious.
Tyler Self is like Littlefinger. Let's just
yeah, but then you know,
it's the
you
mustache.
Yeah, it's the mustache. Tyler Self is Littlefinger, but Littlefinger's gonna get stabbed in the back at the end. And Evan Manning's gonna take the throne.
There you go. Well, if you're still with us and you're not a Game of Thrones watcher, we apologize and we will get out of here now. If you are a Game of Thrones watcher, enjoy the enjoy this podcast and the show tonight. We will catch you next time. We will be coming back talking much more NBA draft once that goes down. We'll certainly talk a little football as we inch closer to the season. And I think that's all we got for tonight. So on behalf of Andrew, I am Kevin. We will catch you next time on Rock Chalk. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top just like we should be. Started from the bottom thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, 9 times get the cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now.
If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the booster showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
Sound checking. 1, 2, 3.
Quack.
Let's talk about Game of Thrones, KU edition.
Okay.
Who would win if KU players were on the Game of Thrones?
Like, Trial by Combat?
Okay. We could take it that direction.
We're just talking about like political intrigue.
Actually, let's do one of each. Trial by Combat, KU
let's,
edition.
Let's save this. Let's save this for the podcast.
Okay. Do you think enough people will get it?
Don't care.
Okay.
I think so. Game of Thrones is a Twitter thing, and this podcast is a Twitter thing.
I do like the Twitter things. All right. Sounds great. Sound check over.
Put that at the end.
Click.